Genesis chapter number 10. Genesis chapter number 10. Tonight, we'll look here in Genesis chapter 10, and I want to read a verse of scripture here. This chapter is dealing with the genealogy of Noah and his family after they come out of through the flood and out of the ark. And there was nobody in the world but Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And I'm sure you understand that. People always ask me all the time, where did these people come from? Where did these people come from? How did all the people get in the world? Everybody in the world come from three boys, Shem, Ham, Japheth. Because Noah and his wife were older when they went in the ark, Shem, Ham, and Japheth repopulated the whole world and all their relatives. So there's actually only three races. There's white, brown, and black. There's not red and yellow, black and white. There's black, brown, white. Yeah, forgot about them. But anyway, that's what I is. Anyway, we've mixed it up now where you can't tell what people are. But originally there were three races. Japheth, if you understand the Bible, most people don't, went there in northward and went up into Europe, Russia, and that's where white people come from. Japheth, you can trace it right through the Bible, all over Europe. Go there right now, Scotland, Ireland, white skin, light-colored eyes, or light-colored hair. Shem settled in Asia, all Asiatic people come to Shem. That's anybody with brown skin and straight black hair. That's where they come from. Shem, the Shematic. Jews, Indians, Japanese, Chinese, any of that have darker brown skin, straight black hair. Ham went to Africa. The Bible says that's the land of Ham. Black skin people come from Ham. And those three races. Now, what we got now, they're all mixed up together. I think the word Ham itself means black, means burnt black. That word, that's what it means. And so it's very easy. People say, black people lived at the equator and that turned their skin black. It didn't make their hair kinky. It didn't make their other characteristics different. It made that's God. We brought come down from those three boys. Shematic people are shorter. That don't mean that they live in a part of the world where you don't grow as tall. That's just they come from their ancestors. White people, Shematic people are very, very spiritual. Anybody with brown skin and straight black hair is real spiritual minded, but they're not emotional. And white people discover things and build things. Black people are very emotional, and that's why black people make the best entertainers. Black people make the best in sports. And isn't it nice to hear somebody get up and talk like this, because you can't get this on the news? Amen? And that's a Bible view. There's not a racist thing. It's got nothing to do with race. Let me tell you something. If God has a special race, it ain't white people. It's Jewish, brother. If God has a special race on earth that he favors, it's brown-skinned people. It ain't us. Amen? Amen. Don't be brainwashed by the news media. It's all right to talk about it. You talk the truth. Nobody's any better than nobody else. Our Savior was a Jew. Brother, I wouldn't care if he's purple, as long as he died for my sin. Amen? Somebody said, Jesus was a black man. Who cares what color he was? I wouldn't care if he's green. Brother, if he died and paid the price for my sin, keep me out of hell. So these genealogies here, you can follow them if you want to study them in chapter 10. But honestly, what I want to preach about tonight is something entirely different. And I want you to look at Genesis chapter 10. And in these records here, there's a verse here. Look at verse 6. And the sons of Ham, Cush, and Mitzrayim, and Phut, and Canaan. Now, everybody here has probably heard of Cush at one and a half. The Cushite, you know, the people from Cush, Mitzrayim, and Canaan. But what about Phut? I reckon, I don't even know if that's the way you pronounce that. Phut. 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 Like, it'd be probably like Philadelphia. The PH sounds like a F, foot, or foot. What a name,
foot.
Wouldn't you hate that to be your name?
Come here, foot.
That'd be awful, wouldn't it? Some of them people in the Bible had some rough names. But the truth is tonight, I'm going to build on that one little truth, and let's take just a minute and look at it just for a minute. And the subject tonight is, are you willing to be a nobody? Are you willing to be a nobody? Who in the world has ever heard of foot? You in the average church tonight and ask them, somebody stand up and tell me what foot did. They'll look at you like you're crazy. They have no idea in this world. Let me ask you, do you know anything Foote ever did? No. His name's in the Bible. That's it. He's an absolute nobody. We've heard of Canaanites. We've heard of Mitzrayim. We've heard of Ham, of course. We've heard of Cushites, but Footites or Foot people or Foot followers or nothing. Nobody's ever heard of him. He was a nobody. And I want to talk about that a little bit tonight. Everybody in the Bible is there for a reason. These days, we're living in a day of what we call celebrity Christianity. We really are. On TV and in these TV shows, you either have to be, you know, you're what's her name, Joyce Meyer, or you're John Hagee, or you're Benny Hinn, or you're T. Jakes, or you're Paula White, or you're somebody, you know, you're some famous, and the great so-and-so, and you know, and the singing group. I heard them on radio yesterday. They're talking about this group and the Tallies and the McCameys and the Whistons and they're this and that. And I mean, that's all great and fine. But a lot of people have the idea that if you're not some kind of big Christian celebrity, that you're really nothing in the family of God. God can't use you, and you're really a nobody. But let me tell you something. There's a lot of people in the Bible that were, and God's looking for some people that's willing to be just a nobody. God's looking for people to just say, hey, I'm getting no recognition out of this. I'm getting no glory out of this. I'm doing a little part just for the glory of God, and it don't matter who knows it. It don't matter if the preacher ever gets up and brags on me. I'm going to do it in secret, and one day God will reward you openly. We believe the Bible tonight. We believe that every little thing we do for Jesus Christ will someday be rewarded and blessed by God. Not even in heaven, but even here in this life. And so I'm looking for some people, and God's looking for some people tonight who are willing to be a nobody. You know, I have a lot of times people tell me, I've had it over the years. I've had people sit and they'll look at me and they'll sit and they'll say, oh, Brother Danny, I'd just give anything to be you. Or I'd give anything to be somebody like you. I've had people tell me, they'll say, yeah, you just don't know how one, you just get to travel around the world and you get to meet people and everywhere you go, you know, people's nice to you and they put you in motel rooms and they do this. And that's true. That is true. A lot of time, I mean, I get a lot of blessings here on this earth because of the work that God's given me to do, and I thank God for it. But you know what? You know what really has made the difference in my life? The difference in my life comes from little times that I'm driving down the road, and I pick up a hitchhiker, and I just talk to him and tell him about the Lord, and never, y'all don't even know nothing about it. And it ain't in the pulpit, and it's not for show, and it ain't for, you know, glory, hallelujah, sis, boom, bah, you know, all that kind of stuff. It's just doing little things that nobody knows about but me and Jesus. Amen? That's what makes a difference in the Christian life. I picked an old boy up over here on the interstate the other Saturday on bus route, and I don't always do it. Sometimes I'll just go right by him. Sometimes I feel like the Lord says, get him. I picked him up. He got into my 4Runner. I started talking to him coming up the interstate, and I started witnessing to him, and, you know, they don't smell good, man. Them guys don't smell good. He was going to Texas or somewhere, and I always open that back window. That's an added thing Toyota's got, no other SUV does, and I roll down that back window about that far, and boy, so that air can come fresh through there, you know. By the time it gets between me and him, it'll carry it out the back. Like that. And I begin to talk to him and try to be a blessing to him. And you know what? He's talking about people being hypocrites and hypocrites in the church, you know. And I said, well, man, listen, you got to keep your eyes on the Lord. And he said, are you for real, ain't you? You for real? I said, yeah, I'm for real. I ain't much, but I'm for real. And he said, yeah, you are. He said, I can tell that. And that man acted like it done him so much good. He wanted something to eat, and I bought him a honey bun. gun or something and some stuff, you know, he could carry with him, and some stuff, a pack of beanie weenies or something, and some crackers, and send him on his way. And you know something? That the Christian life, there's a lot of people that go to big singings and big crusades and Paul evangelists alone and sit there, and all they do is say, man, I wish I could get up there and do that. Man, I wish I could do that. The Christian life, all the way through the Bible, is not just big things and not spotlight. The Christian life is just daily little things that you do for Jesus that just between you and the Lord. You don't get paid for down here. You don't get glory for. Nobody gives you any money. You just do it for Him. Are you willing to be a nobody for the Lord? Now, listen, God will never make you a somebody so you're willing to be a nobody. Amen. I want to say a few things about that this morning, or this evening. Amen. Amen. These people, everybody wants to be a great man of God. Everybody wants to be the spiritual leader. Everybody wants to be Jack Kyle. All the preachers, they want to be Billy Sunday. And there's nothing wrong with that. But not many people just willing to say, hey, I'm willing to be a nobody. It's necessary and important. Let me say, in prayer, many times those people in the spotlight get all the glory, when actually the one who's in the background is doing the work. It's just like football. In football, the quarterback usually gets to be in front of the cameras and gets interviewed. And they'll say, well, how'd you do it? How did you have the brilliance to see that man down there? And how did you just put that ball? And boy, you've done a great job. You've done a great job. Oh, the quarterback. And his picture's in the paper. He's on the front of Sports Illustrated. He's, you know, everybody makes a big to-do about that quarterback. And boy, he's such a great man and all of that. Well, you know something? Right at the time they're interviewing him, there's some old boys in the locker room. And their bones is a hurting. I mean, they're trying to take their pads off and everything, and their shoulder dislocated and everything. Them boys in linemen, buddy, down there getting a fool beat out of them so that quarterback could do his job. And in everything, it's like that, people. Everything, it's like that. If them linemen went down there, get bam, bam. I feel sorry for him, but they'd play the whole game, don't even get to touch the ball. Not one time. I'll guarantee you some of them old boys played probably two or three games and never touched their finger on that ball one time and get the absolute snot knocked out of them. And I mean, their bones is jarred, their jaws is dislocated, their necks are killing them, and here's the quarterback without a scratch on him getting interviewed and getting all the money. And man, I'm telling you, we need some people in our churches tonight that's willing to get down and do some blocking and brother, knock out some line. I mean, I happen to get to be the quarterback. It ain't my fault. I'm telling you, brother, I don't get mad at me. This is just a place that God getting me to be. And it's not always easy as it looks, but I'm telling you, we need some blockers, brother. We need some linemen. We need some people that will just say, hey, I'm going to get down. I don't have to have the microphone. I don't have to have the interview. But by the grace of God, I want to see my team win. I want to see our church win and block out so we can get the job done. We're playing the enemy next week. The youth rally, we are playing the enemy. I'm telling you, you listen to me tonight, we're kidding ourselves if we don't think right now while I'm preaching the devil ain't out there hatching up some ungodly plot to try to stop that youth rally. He'll try to make you folks get mad at each other. He'll make husbands and wives get in fusses. He'll make you get irritated at each other. The way you know the devil's working is when church members start fussing with each other and husbands and wives can't get along and teenagers rebel against parents and all. That's what the devil's job is, divide, divide, divide. I mean, you know what? That old song, the old saying is, united we stand, divided we fall. A team can't win a ball game with half of them pulling this way and half pulling that way, half pulling the other way, this one, that, is this one, right around. You know what? And I love Shining Light Baptist Church. It's my favorite church in the whole world. And, but we got our faults. And it's some of us in here tonight. You know what some of you people need to do? Some of you people need to learn to mind your own business. Some of y'all need to keep your mouth shut. Some of you don't need to quit trying to straighten each other out. Some of you need to get your own heart right. Some of you need to start getting dedicated. Some of you need to start tithing. Some of you need to start coming to prayer meeting. Some of you need to start getting your Bible. Some of you need to start witnessing. Some of you, we got all kinds of needs in our church. You say, well, you're just talking about me. No, the Lord's talking about you. I ain't talking about nobody. I ain't got nobody in mind. I'm just telling you tonight, you hear me, brother? We need some people to just say, hey, I'm willing to be a nobody if we can just push this thing over the top. I'm telling you, I mean that tonight. That's what we need tonight. I have the responsibility of preaching it to you, Prelly. And I'm telling you, it is a tremendous responsibility. But I'm telling you the truth right now. If I thought that God would send a great revival to Burke County, and I believe that God would get a hold of my kids and our teenagers and send a mighty revival to our church, if somebody else come in there and preach that, I'd call them tonight. Listen, I'd call them tonight. I've been in this thing long enough. I ain't trying to prove nothing to nobody. I don't have to have the glory in the spot. I've had my share of it. I don't have to say, boy, Brother Danny preached a great sermon. All right, brother, I've had all that. I want to see God do something in our kids and in our family. It don't matter who gets to be in the skit. It don't matter who gets to sing a song. And it don't matter. Listen, brother, I know preachers, the only time they'll shout is if they're preaching themselves. And they'll fuss at everybody else for not saying amen. And they don't say amen when the other man's preaching. I know singers that shout when they're singing and sit there and look at the floor when other people sing. Brother, we ought to get in this thing as a team effort. We're a team. We're not just out for ourselves. We're out for a teamwork. Say amen right there. That's right. Now listen to me tonight. In prayer. Prayer meeting tonight. We need to pray. One of our ladies called last night. I didn't know it till this morning, but she called last night. I don't know unless the message is on my phone. And she said, Brother Danny, I couldn't come to prayer meeting. I just wanted you to know I was praying. Let me ask you something. Do we care that God does? Listen, everybody in here has got kids or teenagers or somebody that you know, your brothers or your sisters, but you know if God don't do something to their family, their marriage is going to break up, their kids are going to rebel, they're going to get in trouble, every one of us got people like that in our family. And the youth rallies are anxious for people like that. Do we care enough to pray? I remember one time I went up to a little church up in the mountain to preach. And Brother Jason, I'll never forget that. I remember it's made such an impression on me. I couldn't have been more than 20 years old. And I went up there. I'd studied all day. Here I came, buddy. I thought I had the message. And there's a little old woman come out of the woods. And you know how them little women up in the mountain, there ain't many of them left no more. You don't see a lot of them. Why, them little dresses way down to here like that. Boy, she come out there with her Bible like that. You know, you can just tell some of them old women like that. You don't see much of them anymore. Lord, these little old painted up grandmas now look like Britney Spears' grandma. I mean, without sickening. I mean, that old girl belly looks like an old piece of leather, have a belly ring and everything else, and they're 85 years old. I mean, we need some old grandmas that still love the Lord and godly women. And boy, I tell you, she come out of the woods like that, you know, and she was like that. And you know what she told me? I said, how you doing there, sister? She said, I've been up there in the woods praying all day. I said, whoa. And I thought, boy, if a power of God comes in here tonight, everybody say, didn't that young man, this young man didn't have nothing to do with it. Listen, I've been preaching revivals long enough that I know I'm going to preach tomorrow night in Kentucky, Lord willing. And it's way up yonder. You talk about mountains. Yeah, I've been mountains, you see. Where I'm going, Mark, near Hazard, where the Dukes of Hazard come from. Harlan, Kentucky, Hazard, Kentucky, and it's right across the line in West Virginia, and buddy, them mountains are straight. They pipe the sunshine in, the moonshine out. I ain't kidding you. It's like this right here, and the sun comes up. Where my family lives, the sun don't come up till about 11 o'clock. Sunrise, 11, sunset, 2. That's right. And it'll go like that. You can see it for about 3 hours, and they like it because they're in the shade all the time. And you know something? I'm going up there, and I can tell when I go into a church, I can tell if people's been praying. If people's been praying, there's a deep burden. There's tears being shed. You can feel it. And if people haven't, it's just sort of light, you know, just sort of like, well, that was good. Yeah, I enjoyed it. Listen, brother, there's no substitute for praying. There's no substitute for praying. There is no substitute for praying. We need to pray. The old saints of God prayed for preachers. I remember hearing Dr. Jack Howes and Brother Howes. So he told, I've heard him tell on tape. And I know many of y'all, Mr. T and all y'all that listen to him all the time, Brandon, y'all have heard him say, he said he had some old ladies in his church. And he said he'd go off to preach. They had his schedule. And they would know, like there's a time difference of an hour or 2 hours. He would be standing to preach at 8 o'clock. And they knew every time he stood in the pulpit, there were some old ladies back home saying, dear God, bless our preacher. Dear God, make it easy for him. God, keep the devils off of him. God, don't let demons miss. Oh, brother, I'm telling you tonight, we need some people that'll block. We need some people that'll get on the front line. We need some people that'll say, hey, I want God to do a mighty work in our youth rally. Thank God we're fasting. Thank God we're making preparation. But Lord, have mercy, ladies. Lord, have mercy, men. Can we have some men? It's good to talk heels lost. Maybe we can turn the TV off now a little while and get down to business and say, oh God, please, dear God, get something in our lives worth something to last once in a while again. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, brother, we need it in prayer. Let me say something. We need it in work. Many times people in the background work long, hard, tedious hours with little or no recognition. Behind the scenes. One day there's a little boy left home. This little boy's mama fixed him some lunch. He walked out, had some fishes and a little piece of bread. And he's walking down the road and his head went to the big crowd where Jesus was. He had no idea what the Lord was going to do with him. And then he took that loaf and fishes, and somehow, I don't know how the Lord picked that one little boy out to get his lunch. I don't know if that little boy wanted to be close to him. He had to be close to him. I mean, there's 5,000 people there. He wasn't way over yonder in the back of the crowd. He had to be up close to the Lord. There's something in that little boy that wanted to be close to the Lord. His buddies was gone fishing. His buddy was out playing ball. He wanted to be where Jesus was. And that's what makes a difference in a person's life. And the Lord took those fishes and loaves and fed the multitude. I remember reading about one little colt that the Lord had need of. And the Lord rode into town. Great moments rarely come. Most people live their whole lives and never have a great moment that's going down in history. Most people never do anything that the world is going to remember. Life is made up of little, bitty, tiny. Listen, did you know your opportunities to do something tremendous for God are just come once or twice a lifetime? And that's exactly what most Christians think today. They think, I want to do something big for God. I want to do something big for God. While you're waiting to do something big for God, do a bunch of little things for God. You can do that every day. You hardly ever get a chance to do anything big. Well, Shamgar had an ox goad. David had a sling. Samson had a jawbone. Rahab had a string. Mary had some ointment. Aaron had a rod. Dorcas had a needle. But all were used by God. Amen. Listen, if you don't do nothing like Brother Ray does and stand back there and make people welcome when they come in. I don't know how long he's been doing that. I don't even remember asking him to do that. I wish he wouldn't. I tell you something. You know what? The Lord's going to bless him for that. Amen? He's going to bless him for that. He don't get paid for that. He don't get paid for that. I mean, y'all coming in during Sunday school, you interrupt his nap every Sunday. I'm going to tell you something this morning. Listen, you hear me today? Are you willing to be a nobody? Everybody wants to be a great so-and-so. Everybody wants to be a famous this and that. Everybody will say, boy, glory to God, woo! I've had people tell me, they say, Brother Danny's a youth rally commercial. Am I on there? I mean, that's all right. I know everybody wants to be on TV. But look, wonder how many people would say this. I'm going to bury my face in my pillow every night for about an hour instead of watching the news, and I'm going to cry, and I'm going to beg God to touch our youth rally, and nobody's going to know about it. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to do that? Work. We're doing some things. We'll be working at the fairground here in about 2 weeks from tomorrow night. The work starts major. And I'm going to tell you, a building program is exciting. I love it, and I'm so excited about it. But our building in the next 2 or 3 weeks is not going to take first place over this youth rally. Amen? Amen? That's right. You say, well, Brother Danny, I can't wait to get in a new building. It can wait a week or two. But without the power of God, we don't need a new building or an old building. We need the youth rally. We need God to move in. Listen, God can do more without us if we're where we need to be. And we need some people that's willing to work. I remember last year, we had men that went over there during the day, before work time, and just mowed grass. And just took their weed eaters and went around like that. I remember going over there early, like 5 o'clock in the morning, and there was people out there just working like crazy. That's what a church is. That's the way a church is supposed to operate. In government. What about in government? We need some people that are willing. Most churches completely ignore what the Bible teaches about church government. Completely. You know, you go to any church here in Morgan, you go to any what we call established, quote, big shot churches in Morgan, and you know who the deacons are? The deacons are the richest, most important men in the community are the deacons in that church. And that's exactly opposite from what God said for it to be. I'm not against the rich man being a deacon. If he's deacon material, fine. I don't care. But you know what the Bible said? The Bible said, look out some men full of the Holy Ghost. He didn't say educated. He said full of the Holy Ghost. He didn't say a businessman. He said full of the Holy Ghost. He did not say somebody that's well known in the community. He said full of the Holy Ghost that's willing to serve. That's what a deacon is. Amen? A deacon is a servant. A deacon is somebody that's full of the Holy Ghost. I don't care if they live in a $100 house. Brother, they have a heart to serve. That's what the Bible says of deacons. You know what the Bible says? The Bible said if there's an issue comes up in the church and you need a judgment made, you ask the least esteemed person in the church. You know what they do in most churches? They get the rich people together and say, what do you think we should do? You know what they did in the Bible? Oh, they got some bus workers and they got some people there and they say, what do you think we ought to do? Let them judge who are least esteemed in the church. That's what it says. That's what it says. I've been pastor 30 years. I know how that works. But you know what? If you get big shots to do the judging, you know what they'll do? They'll make their judgment according to how it comes out best for them. They'll make their judgment over how's this going to profit my business or how's this going to make me look in a community. And it won't take a stand a lot of times because it'll cost them financially. But boy, you get that old boy just loves the Lord. He'll say, preacher, I believe we ought to do this. Preacher, I believe we ought to do that. Preacher, you tell him I'm behind you 100%. They want what God wants. And that's rare in a lot of churches tonight in government. The links make a chain. The shingles make a roof. The pennies make a dollar. The trees make a forest. I've thought of a lot of times of people like bus workers. We got some bus workers here tonight. They go out on bus route every Saturday. They never get nothing, pay their own gas, buy candy every Saturday out of their own pocket, spend hours, get up early, ride the bus. Listen, they're not fools. They ain't wasting their time. They're like Foot down here. Nobody knows who they are. But you know something? When we get up there one of these days, the Lord's going to pull up people whom we never heard of. Mamas in the Depression. I believe when we get to heaven, there's going to be mamas go to the front of the line at the judgment seat that during the Depression prayed food on their family's table. They prayed in groceries. I believe there's going to be grandmas when we get to heaven that God's going to pull up to the front of the line and say, because you laid in night and prayed, your grandson is here in heaven right now. Come thou and enter into the joy of thy Lord. And I believe a lot of our Christian big shot celebrities, they're going to be at the back of the line. There's going to be women there who lived with a husband that drank alcohol and stayed faithful to God, and he slapped her and beat her and run around on her and everything else. And she stayed right with God and never looked at another man and lived right and served God. And you've never even heard of them. Their name's never been in the sword of the Lord. They've never been on TV. You've never seen them on a Billy Graham crusade. And God's going to pull them up there and say, thou hast been faithful over a few things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. You'd make you ruler over many things. Turn to flat the armies of aliens. Caused it to rain, put saloons out of business, brought your boys home from war, kept the preachers going.
I think about Miss Kerr. I mention her a lot, because, and I don't want you to get jealous of her. She just meant so much to me. There's been times before many of y'all even knew me that I've called her and I said, Sister Kerr,
I need prayer. And brother, I know she prayed. And I'm not talking about Lord help Brother Danny. I'm talking about doing without food and praying.
I've seen her sit on a bus one night. We was going somewhere up north, New York or somewhere, and she was fasting. And she fasted all that day. She'd kill me if she knew I told you this. She wouldn't want you to know it, but I'm just going to make a point. She sat on that bus with about 50 maniacs screaming and hollering and raising Cain and run, and she sat there like this all day, not a bite of food. I mean, they was opening up packs of crackers and drinking Pepsis right in front of her, and I've seen that woman sit there, and I'm telling you what, brother, I thought, bless her heart, she hadn't eat a bite. I mean, and you know, it's miserable sitting in a little bus seat for that long, and the bus tore up, and we couldn't get a I forgot what it was, alternator or something. Ain't nothing open. You can't get on a diesel bus alternator at 8 o'clock at night. We pulled in a truck stop and sat there all night long till the next day. 9 o'clock, something else would open up. But you talk about a rough night. That was awful. They screamed, they hollered. They want to go in and get something. I said, all right, go on. I don't care. Don't come back. Get lost. And I saw Sister Kerr sit there all night long, sitting in that chair. No sleep. I done pretty good, you know, and y'all, I can run with the best of them, you know me. I mean, you know, I don't ever, and man, about 5 o'clock in the morning, I was like this. It was so miserable. And one time, I can't sleep with somebody talking, moving around. And I remember I put my head up against the window like this. You couldn't lay down in one room. There's people laying in the floor, and you had to crawl over them. If you went to use the bathroom, you had to go like this. Like that, go down the aisle like this. Am I telling the truth? You was on there, wasn't you, Gary? That boy there was on there. Oh, Lord, it was awful. 150 degrees, people sweating. Some of them hollering, shut up! No, you shut up!
And one time I laid my head against the window like that, and I dozed off for a minute. And I woke up and I said, glory to God, it's daylight. Hallelujah. It's morning. And something went, there's a big white truck sitting beside. I thought it was getting daylight and there's a white truck. And it pulled off and it got dark again.
It was 4 o'clock in the morning. I said, I just knew I'd slept so it got daylight. And I saw her sit there and sit there and sit there.
And I saw things start working out in my life. And God start blessing here, and God start blessing there. A lot of people say, well, what, Brother Danny, he's something else. Man, listen, when I get to heaven,
I wouldn't doubt a bit. If the Lord don't say, you sit down over there and let you open your mouth and pull her up there and say, look, she's what kept you going.
I wouldn't doubt that bit.
I wouldn't doubt a bit. It wouldn't surprise me one bit. If, brother, if I didn't get nothing and she got my rewards. And that'll be all right with me, brother, because I know I don't deserve it. There's not many people that's willing to be a nobody. Years ago, there's a Sunday school teacher up in Chicago, 1850, matter of fact. You say, well, what's a Sunday school teacher in Chicago got to do with me in 2008? He's like, foot. His name, you'd have never heard of him if it hadn't been for what happened to him. His name was Kimball. And Kimball was a Sunday school teacher. You listen, Sunday school teachers? And he started witnessing to a young man and led a young man by the name of Dwight Moody to the Lord, D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody started preaching, and when he did, he got on fire for God, and this young man come and heard him preach by the name of F.B. Meyer. And F.B. Meyer got right with God, got on fire for the Lord. He started preaching, and he preached, and a young man got saved named J. Wilbur Chapman. And J. Wilbur Chapman was a great evangelist, and he employed a former baseball player by the name of Billy Sunday. And Billy Sunday started preaching and got saved and started winning souls, won a million souls to the Lord, quit playing professional baseball. And Billy Sunday got on fire for God and held a camp meeting down here in Charlotte. And when he held a camp meeting in Charlotte, the men got on fire for God, and a man got on fire for God named Mordecai Ham. And Mordecai Ham started preaching, and he's preaching one night, and Mordecai Ham preached in Charlotte, and a big, tall, 17 or 18-year-old boy hit the altar. His name Billy Graham. You know where that started? And the world's been changed by the ministry of Billy Graham. And it all started with one Sunday school teacher in a shoe store. Just witnessing, just nobody never heard of, just witnessing to a shoe store. And it wound up with the Billy Graham ministry. You know why? That guy's willing to be a nobody. You know what I'd like to ask us to do tonight? I want to ask some people in here to say, look, I don't care if my name's mentioned. I don't care if, you know, if everybody knows what I did. I don't care if I get to stand on the platform. I'm willing to do some stuff for our youth rally and be what I am. Are you willing to be a nobody? Let's stand by his prayer.